We're in Ephesians 1. We're in the second part of Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. I'm going to read it, and then I will delve into it a little bit. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers. For the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I don't know about you, there's two things which I really want to pull out of this passage. One is about thankfulness, and one is about identity. Our identity in him and his identity that we get to discover and we get to experience. Paul is a writer. In my early years as a Christian, I found him really difficult. Until people helped me understand the letters which he was writing in a different way. Paul's letters are always written in context to the people that he's writing it to, and his heart's desire is always to encourage, to edify, to help lift up and build up the church which he's writing to, and encourage all believers into deepening their relationship with the Father, deepening their understanding of love for one another, and deepening their understanding of what it really means to walk out a life redeemed by Christ. I really love him as a writer. I've come to love him. And I just think the way he writes is really beautiful. This first chapter, which Luke has done so well bringing us to this point in, and I will try and bring us to the end of it, is him setting a scene for something. The things which he wants to help encourage the church in, help edify the church in, and bring the believers to a new place in their faith. And I love the way that he starts this part of the passage. He starts with thankfulness. He's heard about these people. He's not necessarily been or met these people, but he's heard about how much they love God and how much they love one another. And I think that's such a key part of who we are as a community of believers across this world, is that we hear about what's going on. We love the fact that people are coming to faith and coming to love who Christ is. And we should take such joy and hope in it, which is what I think Paul is doing in this passage. He's excited that they want to know Jesus. He's excited that they want to go deeper in their faith. And his thankfulness leads him into a place of intercession and prayer for them. And he prays two things specifically. He prays that they would have wisdom, and he prays that they would have revelation. And I think for all of us, when we hear about people who are coming to faith or we're involved in some way, I loved hearing last week about the stuff which is happening up north, in the way you guys took the blankets and things, and especially about Xander, the boy you talked about, and how excited he is about his faith. I think if we as a community pray for wisdom for that community and themselves, and for revelation of who the Father is, what his love is for us, what he's done for us, and who Jesus is and his authority over all, our relationship and our identity as believers, as individuals, as people, and as a community of God will grow and be strengthened. And, you know, And we should take such, be so excited to hear that these things are happening, that we get to be a part of that, even if it's just we've made a blanket and we've been able to send something somewhere else. We are a part of a family. And I think sometimes in my early walk with Christ and my early walk in faith, I didn't quite understand what that meant. I didn't really understand what it was to be part of this family, this group of people who are so different across the world, but have this thing in common, which is we've been accepted no matter what our life has been about, what has happened in our life and what we've done. There's such an acceptance of a Father, such an acceptance of God over each and every single one of us. And I think there's something in Paul's letters which always tries to bring that out and always tries to highlight that. And I love the fact that also, I think Luke mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Paul always takes his prayer really specific and really deep. So he could have prayed for them for financial needs or other bits and pieces, but he prayed that they would know their identity, that their identity would be set on a firm foundation of a revelation of really who God is. I think as we grow in our faith and we grow as Christians, we need to be able to stand firm on that. Because if we don't really know and we don't have that revelation of who God is, when difficult times come and things feel, you know, almost like you're trying to move through treacle or sludge, it becomes very difficult to see where our hope is set, and we get very bogged down in the circumstances around us. And the people that he's writing to have quite a strong belief in the spiritual. They have a strong belief in many gods, because that was the environment that they were in. And there's Paul is wanting to help them to take their eyes from this place of, oh, there's another God here, to, oh, he's here. He's above all of these other gods and thoughts and things that we have to do, these superstitions that we walk through, these things that we carry to go through our daily life. He's more than that. He's more powerful than that. He's above that. He's bigger than that. And he is over all of that. I think as we settle into this community of faith, I'd encourage you, I love to hear testimonies like we have done. I'd encourage you to keep talking to each other, because it is from the hearing that brings us to thankfulness. And that's where Paul started in this passage. He heard about what was going on, and it brought him to a place of thankfulness. And our thankfulness leads us into a place of worship and leads us into a place of entering into, you know, the courts of God. It says in Psalm 100, verse 4. It's not a very long psalm, but verse 4 specifically. Enter his gates of thanksgiving and his courts of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. I think as a community, we've come through a season of thankfulness, of thanksgiving, as we stand in a place of thankfulness, even if it's just a little thing that we can hold on to be thankful for, it helps us to move into that place of being able to go, actually, God is good. God is good, and he's so good, and he does love me, even if it's a little thing. The other thing which I really love about Paul, which he doesn't necessarily specifically say in this particular passage, but his desire is that we should all go from strength to strength. We should all be able to walk in faith and deepen our faith and continue to be able to persevere through to the end. He calls us to run a race and be able to finish a race, not run a race and stop halfway through or fall away. And this is where that wisdom which Paul praise for really comes out in all of us. It's that wisdom of knowing today I'm struggling, or that today I'm feeling really, really good about what's going on. And God is so beautiful in the fact that he is so willing to go through those moments of struggle, but also through those moments of, yeah, I can do this and I can really run hard. I like to run, so I can really identify with that running of a race and finishing it off. At the moment, I'm trying to run about 5 miles in under an hour, and I do that in the local gym, at Copper Sky. On Tuesday, this is a great story for me. On Tuesday, I go to the Bible study with Luke, and I really enjoy kind of that talking through scripture, and being able to be in that place with one another and being able to encourage one another. And normally I would go running in the evening, but I thought, well, we've got a lot happening this week. I can get a run in if I go straight after. So I went to the gym to do a run, and I got on the treadmill, and I tried to run, and I found it really, really hard. My mind was there, and my spirit was willing, but my body really did not want to engage with a run. And God spoke to me through that. He said, you know, sometimes it can feel really easy to run, and you can run hard, and you can go, and you can run like a, and then other times it feels really difficult, and that's okay. Bring the pace down a little bit, slow down, and be okay with the fact that sometimes we can run really hard and sometimes we walk, but as long as we are continuing to move in that forward motion, with God by our side, because he will walk with us and he will run with us, we can persevere through to the end of what it is. And for me, that was a really good picture in my own life of making sure that we are good at being honest and good at running at a pace which is, running at that pace which allows us to be able to keep moving forward and persevere to the end of what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. And that ability to persevere comes from that place of identity. It comes from that place of revelation. If we really know who God is, then our hope can be set securely. If we are struggling to know who God is, then that's where we need other people around us to help also encourage us, which is where that sharing and testimony comes in within the body of believers. And I think as we stand in that place of thankfulness and we with one another, and we say, "Hey, I'm really thankful for this," or "I'm really thankful for that," it can help to lift those people who are feeling really, whose eyes are really turned down in that as well, because it's for, as we come back to that place of where does Paul start with this passage? It starts with hearing. And where does God start with us? It starts for us hearing. It starts for us hearing who he is, hearing that there's good news for us to be able to take hold of, that there's hope in front of us to be able to grasp, and to be able to walk forward into. And I love stories like yours, Ernest, where that you've hit the lowest of the low. It feels like you've hit the lowest of the low, and you've been able to go, "Okay, God, I can see you and I can walk forward." And then there's stories like Paul's. Paul, I don't think had hit the lowest of the low. He was in a great place in his ministry in terms of in the people that he was a part of. He was doing things which he felt really zealous about. He was going out and doing what he thought was right in the time. And he encountered Jesus. He encountered the living God who right in front of him. And it changed everything. So you have this shift and change when you're in the lowest of the low, and this shift and change when you're not. I know in my life I was probably somewhere in the middle of that. But it was through the hearing of who God is, and that he loves me, that he's for me, that he wants me, that I am accepted and I don't have to perform anything, because my identity is to be a child and is to walk in that childness with God and to grow into maturity in that identity. That for me is one of the most encouraging things about about our life and about who we are as people. And I think Paul is often bringing us back to that place as well, as we look at not just Ephesians, but we look at various other letters as well. He's always trying to encourage us to be the best of who we can be, always trying to encourage us to love the best that we can love one another, always trying to encourage us to love the best that we can God, and to persevere with one another and to encourage one another and edify one another. And I know we've got to pull things to a close soon, so I wanted to invite you guys to do something with me. And how this goes depends on how much you guys want to engage with it. But for me, I think there's something about doing something practical as we think about this. We've had Thanksgiving. That was a few days ago, three days ago. And I know we've had thankfulness this morning already. But there's something about that thankfulness which I think is really key for where we are at the moment, because if we look at the world around us, it doesn't seem to be a lot necessary to be thankful for when we get bombarded by all the things which are going on. And to be able to do something physical to remind ourselves again and again and again, yes, we can be thankful because God is God, He is real, our hope is set on Him, and we can love one another and we can love Him and we can love the world around us because it's Him, because it's Jesus, because of what He did on the cross and how He has restored and redeemed us. So I've got some pieces of paper. I've got some pens, but I think they're currently sitting at the back. I would love to, as the service comes to a close, we're going to put a piece of music on. Yeah. And I would love you to come and write something on a piece of paper that you're thankful for. It can be a big thing or a small thing. It doesn't have to be, it can be, I'm thankful that my children are alive. I'm thankful that I get to have a good relationship with my...
Whether you're running
Yeah.
or walking.
Or walking,
okay.
Yeah. And what I'd like you to do is, we worship together as a community. Frank is so brilliant at leading us. But just to lay out here on the steps the things you're thankful for, and then at the end, we'll try and do something with them.
All right. Thank you guys for handing out the pens. And we'll just lay those out. Can I help you lay those out?
Yep.
All right. All right, if you already have a pen and you want to make your way up here, go ahead and take one of these.
Thank you.
There you go, bro. So you don't have to bend over.
Yeah. And as you guys do this, I just want to pray over us as well as a community. Father, we are so thankful that you are who you say you are, that there is no doubleness in you or falseness in you, but you are more integrous than anything or anyone that we could ever know. And I thank you that our identity is rooted into you and is firm in you, and that we draw a sense of who we are because of who you are. And as we come together as a community, Father, I want to ask that you would open up that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of revelation which Paul talks about, that we would continue to know you more and go deeper with you, and discover more and more about who we are in that, and help us to really walk in that faith of a child. And I thank you that we come into that place of worship through the gates of thanksgiving and thankfulness, and I thank you that this season has been about that. And Father, I want to bless this church and bless this community, that they would grow in love for one another and grow in love for you daily as they journey together. Amen.
Amen.